Join me, Dr. Panico, with Cindy Lauper and Chef Michelle Bernstein to talk about plaque psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis, the potential connection and risk of developing permanent joint damage.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 milligram dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 milligram dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur.
Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or cosentyx.com/Cindy.
Off the ball. Rugby.
I think Prendergast is going to be the 10 in the World Cup in 27. I think his ceiling is higher. I think he's got more natural ability than Crowley.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the ball. Breakfast.
With Optimum Nutrition. There's more of you in you. Unlock it with the world's number one sports nutrition brand.
All right, we are absolutely thrilled to welcome Mark Scanlon from the League of Ireland to the studio this morning to make a big announcement. Mark, how are you?
Good, thank you.
We're very excited here as part of Bauer Media Audio Ireland to be broadcasting your games this year.
Yeah, brilliant. Delighted to have Off the Ball on board for the upcoming season. It's been quite a bit of noise over the last couple of weeks around broadcast for the league for next season, and this is just now another added extra, and delighted to bring live radio coverage on Friday nights to your listeners.
The response to the announcement that you were going to have live TV coverage on Virgin was absolutely massive. I presume there's just been an outpouring of people going, yeah, finally.
Yeah, it's something that we've tried to work on for a long period of time now, is to ensure that there's good visibility of the league across free-to-air television. And for a game a week, that was our main objective. That's where we've got to now, so we're delighted to have Virgin Media Television on board for the next 4 years.
Radio's an equally important part. I think maybe sometimes we forget in Ireland just how powerful both local radio and national radio can be. So you've got loads of local radio stations around the country covering games as well.
Yeah, local radio stations have done a fantastic job covering the games over a long period of time now, and it's really a key part of the League of Ireland coverage on a weekly basis. So by extending that now for national coverage, on News Talk with Off the Ball being live every week is going to add another element to it, and as you said, radio is a really key important point. And certainly I know from most of the fans, and myself included, being on the road on a Friday night and going to games and being able to catch up before the game, after the game, and having radio coverage is a key element of the visibility of the league.
So Nathan, as our football editor, tell us what can people expect?
Yeah, look, we're incredibly excited. It's the first time ever that Off the Ball have had exclusive national radio coverage of the League of Ireland. So every single Friday night, you're going to be able to hear a live commentary on Off the Ball Sports Radio. So I know we have a big listenership who tune in all the time to Off the Ball Breakfast and the evening show on the app. So you can be guaranteed you will hear a game every Friday night there. We're going to have at least 15 commentaries on News Talk every Friday night, starting this Friday night with Derry City at Shelburne, at the Champions, at Talca Park. So we're going to be there. We'll have the full show live from Talca Park. We obviously spent a bit of time at Talca last season for the drama towards the end of the season. So, you know, it's going to be a sellout crowd, I've no doubt, at Talca for the opening night against Derry City. And myself and Owen are going to be there. We'll be live from 7 through till 10. And that's going to continue all the way through the season. We've obviously naturally upped our coverage of the league over the last few years. League of Ireland Late Night was a huge success for us, and you know, we've had a lot of callers through the years, some madder than others, and there's been a sort of ever increasing amount of talking points on that. We've had the League of Ireland podcast, and I think it's just become a part of our football coverage. You know, I think we need to be honest, Jer, probably a decade ago we used to have the football show, and we used to have our League of Ireland coverage was a separate thing. But I think when you look at our list of pundits now, and you know, Brian Kerr, Vinnie Perth, Owen Doyle, Keith Tracy, I shouldn't have started naming them, Brian Gartland, Graham Gartland, all the Gartlands, Shane Keegan. There's it's a natural talking point on Football Saturday every week. The lads are all at games. And I think obviously there's a relevance to every part of football now from what happens in the League of Ireland with the national team and the struggles of the national team in recent years, with the academy side of things, with grassroots, and the league is central to all of that. So, you know, I think there's not a show that we have when we talk football now where the League of Ireland isn't a part of that. So this is the natural next step for us. So yeah, I think everyone's very excited to length and breadth of the country, even trying to do out the fixtures for the next sort of 5-6 weeks. You're like, bloody hell, every single night there's a big game.
It's an incredibly exciting time for the League of Ireland the last number of years. Like, attendances are up. It's become very cool to be associated with the League of Ireland. Why do you think that is? Is there a disillusionment with the English game from the Irish perspective, or is it just that the League of Ireland itself is really able to stand on its own 2 feet in terms of its own popularity as a brand in itself? What has changed?
Yeah, I think there's a number of factors with it. I mean, certainly from my point of view as a lifelong fan, it's always been cool from my point of view, and trying to spread that message, whether it was across to friends or colleagues, over the years has been one that we, most of us as League of Ireland fans, have always preached. But I think over the last number of years, certainly it's become more accessible. So I think we've done some great work around LOI TV, for example, bringing all of the games to everybody on a more regular basis. Some brilliant work across social media, which means it's more visible, and we know that's where a lot of today's audience will be on a daily basis. So by just making sure that the league has become more mainstream, I think people have realised the quality of football that we have on our doorstep. I think the clubs have done an amazing job over the last number of years developing both their academy systems and the work in the community. And I think there was probably a disconnect there before with the clubs and maybe the local community. And the clubs would have been seen as a men's senior team playing in a men's senior league only. But now they have a much wider reach. As I mentioned, some of the work that goes on in the communities is fantastic. And the fact that young kids now in the academy system are playing with the club from such a young age means there's a much stronger connection there with people in their own local communities. And all of that has helped rise the attendances, and with the rise in attendances, the atmosphere has obviously increased. So the match day environment around League of Ireland football is something I think that's unrivaled. It's brilliant, and we want to see that continue and attendances grow in the future.
One thing that has been very sporadic over the last few years is that you can never get a consistency of when a game will be shown on TV. So it was very difficult for the casual fan to really get into it. But this season should be a game changer for at least the next 4 years. Do you envision transferring, say, a casual TV viewer flicking by into a League of Ireland fan come the end of this season? Would that be a goal as well?
Yeah, I think when you look at the broadcast landscape, you can see that every single year, consistently, top of the ratings are sports events every single year. You know, a few exceptions around that, in and around the Late Late Toy Show and others, that would be consistently at the top as well. But sports events are always there. So we know the Irish public are huge sports fans. We know that people get behind our teams, whether at international level or local level or, you know, provincial in rugby or county in GAA. And Irish fans are really get behind our own local products. So we want to just make sure that that continues into the League of Ireland. And a key part of that is making sure that we had that level of consistency. So with a game a week now on TV, a game a week on radio, everything else on LOI TV, and the continued improvement of social media coverage from ourselves at the league, and also with each of the clubs, I think every Friday night it'll be impossible to miss the League of Ireland. So it's a really exciting time.
It allows you to have a bad game on the TV as well. It was one of the peculiar things when there was a game once a month whereby if it was a 0-0 draw, this summed up the entire League of Ireland. And you're always going to have good games, you're going to have exciting games, you're going to have bad games. But I think the constant recognition between the TV coverage, between what we're doing on the radio, that the conversation that you can have is very different even 5 or 6 years ago, where so many of the conversations we'd have is about the state of the league. Whereas now, this week, the conversation will be, well, how are Shamrock Rovers going to replace Johnny Kenny? What's the next step of the Damien Duff tactical evolution? And people know the names, they recognise the names of the players, they understand the personalities. And look, there's never been a better time in terms of certainly the managerial personalities, and even being at the launch last week. Like, there's so many storylines from obviously Duffer and trying to go back to back, and the way he's been talking about that. Rovers trying to win the league back again, while also, you know, having this week the biggest game in the club's history, arguably in Europe, to go alongside it. Stephen Kenny and the way that Pat's finished the league last season, and, you know, coming into this season probably as most people's favourites. And, you know, next week they're going to Galway. And like, the great rivalry of recent years has been John Caulfield and Stephen Kenny. I don't know personally what it's like now. I didn't see the two of them together. Maybe it's all fine right now. And then you've Derry investing massively and the change of manager there. So, you know, I don't know if we'll get what we got last season in terms of 10 minutes to go. We don't know where the title and where that trophy is going to end up. But it does feel that storyline-wise and interest in teams, individuals, it's never been in a better shape.
Yeah, I think with the SSE or Tristy Men's Premier Division last year, that going to the wire is quite a unique circumstance. You're not going to get that every single year. We've been lucky to have that in the Women's Premier Division as well a couple of times in the last few seasons, and it certainly adds to the drama. But as you said, the other storylines that are happening across the league are there every single week now, and it's not just about one or two big teams. Everybody in the league this year, for the first time in the Men's Premier Division, the 10 teams are all full-time. So significant investment gone in across the clubs as well, and it's really seeing the football industry here grow. We released an economic impact assessment report last year, and that you would have seen $164 million of an impact in the economy, and that number again is going to continue to grow as the attendances grow, as the broadcast grows, and also as more and more players are in the country on a full time basis as well. So there's loads of them storylines happening, and it just has a real feel at the minute that the league is heading in the right direction. We're moving forward. We're certainly not resting on any of the progress that's been there. We want to continue to drive that forward again, and the next steps of that will be making sure that we can and try improve the facilities to make sure that we can get more fans in. We've seen quite a number of sellout games last year, and again, that's why the TV and radio elements are so important as well, because there was days in the past where it would have been easy to rock up on a Friday night to a League of Ireland ground and get a ticket and go to a match. Now a lot of people actually can't get to games, so it's really important that we're visible across all platforms.
When you mentioned the facilities requiring improvement, what specifically are you talking about there?
Well, look, if you look at a very simple basis of the UEFA categorisation of the stadiums, the only stadiums that we have in this country that could host a UEFA league phase game at the minute would be the Aviva Stadium and Tallaght Stadium. The rest of the stadiums aren't up to that standard, and it's certainly our goal to make sure that all of the stadiums improve to the UEFA categorisation, so when our teams are continuing to progress in Europe, that they'll get the opportunity to play at home. And it's also a good benchmark, because as them standards continue to rise across Europe, we want to make sure that our stadiums start to catch up with them standards, because we've been quite a way behind on that. There's been a lot of good work done though over the last few years. Clubs have made modifications where and when possible within their limited budgets. Really thankful for last year for record funding awarded from the government in the LSSAF and the Community Sports Facilities Fund as well. So record numbers for League of Ireland clubs there. I think we'll see some significant improvements, in particular the big stadium upgrades like Daly Mount Park and the Showgrounds in Sligo, which received significant funding last year. But also clubs who are doing it their own way as well, like Derry City, who've invested in a new stand in the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium that will be open in the coming weeks, and increase the attendance there by over 2,000 on a weekly basis. So all of them areas of infrastructure and improving the pitches, the floodlights, and all of the quality around it will make the football on the pitch better, and will also make it more enjoyable for the fans in the stand, and give us an opportunity to bring in some of them casual spectators or people who've never been to League of Ireland games before, welcome them in, and hopefully they'll stay, pick their club and continue with the league for years to come.
You mentioned funding there. How would you rate the status of the league financially at the moment? What kind of a place is it in?
I think it's in a really good place. So over the last 5 years, we've increased the commercial and broadcast revenue in the league by 192% as well. Significant amount of additional funding this year coming in via UEFA from the UEFA Solidarity Funds as well. And as I mentioned, the support we receive from government in terms of the investment into infrastructure and into facilities was significant in last year's awards. So there's certainly increased investment going into the league at the minute, increased commercial activity around the league, which is all very welcome. And the clubs are continuing to do a brilliant job on their own side as well, in terms of merchandise and other areas of activity around the club to increase and make sure that they're financially sustainable as well. And again, like, that's something that is real notable difference in the last couple of years. If you walk around most of the areas close to League of Ireland grounds at the minute, you'll see a significant number of kids wearing their local League of Ireland colours, and I don't think that's something that probably would have been recognisable maybe a decade ago. So as the clubs continue to increase all of their visibility in the local area and continue to grow their own revenue streams, hopefully we can see them become even more financially sustainable in the future.
I'm Cyndi Lauper. My psoriasis was all over, even on my scalp, which may mean four times the risk for psoriatic arthritis. But Cosentyx works on both.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 milligram dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 milligram dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. an increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at Cosentyx.com or 1-844-COSENTYX. Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
Shake up dinner time at Whole Foods Market with bold flavors. Now through the 25th, shop the Fire Up Asia sales event in store and online. Don't get takeout. Make your own stir fry with sales on organic baby broccoli and leafy greens, Whole Foods Market kitchens marinated meats, momofuku sauces, and more. In a hurry? Look for sales in the sushi department or bring home savory Indian cuisine from the hot bar. Kick dinner time up a notch at Whole Foods Market.
You talked about growing the football industry in Ireland, and I think anytime you go to any other country in Europe and you see what the football industry looks like, you realise the benefits of having that for all sorts of different reasons. What's realistic, and it's obviously not just the league's role, it's obviously the FAI's role and it's the government's role, but what's realistic in terms of what the league can do? Like, do you have a vision for where, if all of the grounds were upgraded, what an average attendance would be and what success would be? Like, what's your reach goal?
I think it's hard to put an exact number on it, but certainly from our point of view, we'd love to see all of the stadiums in a similar situation to Tallaght Stadium is at the minute, that type of a four-sided ground that can accommodate at least 10,000 spectators for some of the big games of the season. I think across Europe, if you look at it, our attendances actually stack up really well in terms of a population size as well. A lot of leagues, smaller leagues and smaller countries across Europe, the attendances would be significantly lower than ours. So I think we're doing really well in terms of that growth, but there's certainly more scope to be able to continue to do that. So stadiums of somewhere between 8,000 to 12,000 would be something that we'd love to see across the country, and hopefully have them full on as many occasions as possible. But I mentioned already the 10 full-time teams in the Premier Division going forward into the future. Of course, we'd love to see that extend across the men's first division, more professionals in the women's Premier Division as well, and that real football industry where young boys and girls growing up coming through the academy system can see staying here in Ireland and being involved in football as their realistic aim. And after that, look, if top players move across to the English Premier League or other leagues across Europe, that's going to be inevitable when them moves happen. That'll obviously be good for the international team as well, but we certainly see no reason in the future why players would be playing in the likes of League One or League Two, and we want to keep more and more Irish players here playing football in our own country and giving an opportunity for football fans to see them on a weekly basis here.
And that's a fully integrated vision of what the league's role within football in Ireland will be. We've obviously moved well beyond in the last decade it being a separate thing and not really the driver of the international team at all levels, at all age groups. And one of the other things about Brexit, obviously players can't leave. We've seen Mason Milia, he will go when he's 18. But has there been a knock-on impact in terms of the quality? Are we already seeing a leap in quality where the best 16, 17-year-olds and maybe some of those who didn't go at 18 are getting league time and playing as men and then heading over to England?
Yeah, I think it's a really important thing for young players to play first team football. It's brilliant coming through an academy system, but I think there's a danger sometimes for young players if they move across to the UK or further afield that they may get lost in an academy system. They mightn't be able to get as many first team games. So the opportunity here to play first team football at a younger age has certainly done well for a lot of the young players. You mentioned Mason's transfer this week, but there's other examples as well. Like even from a St. Pat's example, we've seen Sam Curtis play in the Aviva Stadium in the Sports Direct Men's FAI Cup final a few years ago and then get a move to Sheffield United. But again, a player who came in at 16 years of age, and lots of other exciting young players that will be playing in the division this year will hopefully then progress on in the future. The clubs will be able to get significant transfer fees from that as well, which all helps develop the football industry, and we see where that works well in other areas. But you know, we're not just about the players getting into the first team here and then leaving. We want to keep them here, and we want to make sure that the football and the standard in this country and the professional industry is here, that more and more of the players can stay here for larger chunks of their career.
There's no doubt that for the 99% who would have gone at 16 who wouldn't make it, that this is good news. They're staying in school longer. Maybe they'll have better options when they fall out of football. The jury probably is still out on the 1% because it's still so new as to what happens when you stay in academy football. And, you know, I think people would look at Shamrock Rovers, who would be seen as having the best academy, But those players so far haven't really progressed to the first team, and you know they're going off to different parts of Europe. As to how you get to that stage where you're trusting 17-year-olds, when you know, in fairness to Stephen Bradley, you're going for a league title, you're playing in Europe, and funnily enough, it's been pointed out that you have a better chance maybe of being in a squad in Europe than in the League of Ireland, because there's regulations as the amount of academy players that have to be in a European squad. Is that something that potentially the league are looking at, that you have to have a certain amount of academy players involved in your first team squad?
It's things we've discussed with the clubs. I mean, it's certainly something that we'd like to see in the future. But in order for that to work effectively, we need to make sure that we have the academy system in place that is ensuring that players are developed at each of the clubs as well. So we still have a bit of a journey to go in terms of the facilities at academy level, the contact hours, and that's going to require significant investment. And that'll be an important next step for us. It's something we've obviously spoke about quite a lot in the past, and we've tried to map out that journey of how that will look. It certainly won't be done overnight. It'll take a few years to be able to develop that, but we've done some really good work. Will Clark, our academy development manager, and Mark Cannum and Shane Robinson in the football division within the FAI as director of football and assistant director of football. We work very closely together on what them plans will be like for the future, how the academy system will develop, hopefully at the clubs, how that will help feed the international teams. But as that continues to develop, then there hopefully will be more players who are ready to be trusted and thrown into first team football at a younger age, and we'd love to see the league be a really good breeding ground for young players and to make sure that they get an opportunity to play. But that's also not dismissing the many very good experienced players that are in the league, and that's why it's hard for young players to break in, because we have a good league and we've got loads of good players playing who have been around the league a long time, brought a lot of experience to it. So it's getting the balance of that right, and playing alongside good experienced players will also help them younger players develop.
It's been reported in the last week that the prize money for the Premier Division winners of €125,000 won't be increasing this season. What are the reasons for that?
Well, the budgets that we built in for this season are based around the prize money staying the same as last year, but we increase our distribution to clubs every year across many different areas. So over the last number of years, 5 years, the prize money has increased by 35%, but the club distribution has increased by 205%. So we invest into other areas as well, whether it's support for the club's academies, things like travel grants to go to the club. Obviously, there's money come from streaming via LOI TV as well. So there's different areas. It's not just on prize money. And I think we need to be careful. And we've seen other leagues where this has happened as well, that if all of a sudden a new commercial contract or something like that is signed, you increase the prize money to a level, then that's not sustainable in the future. Beyond that contract, you have to make sure it's increased at a sustainable rate, and also to make sure that we target the investment and where it goes into clubs, and we don't just want to put money straight into prize money and then for club potentially to spend quite a lot of that on first team wages. We want to see the clubs develop the key areas that are part of our strategy that we've spoke about here already, particularly in terms of facilities and academies. So I think it's getting the balance of that right is the important part anytime any new revenue becomes available.
One last thing before I wrap up anyway. There was definitely a political awakening in advance of the last election about the value of football and football fans as a constituency. And it led to the situation where there was at least a mention of football in the programme for government. There may have been some before. I suspect it might have been around like stadiums and big ticket things that politicians could claim credit for and cut the envelope on. But how do you keep that up? How do you make sure that actually it's stitched into political debate and that it wasn't just part of the election cycle when everybody is obviously knocking on doors and it's relatively easy to agitate your fan base? How do you make sure that the political clout is something that is developed in a meaningful way from here on?
Well, I think the key part of the engagement last year was the education side of it and basing it on facts. And that's a lot of what we've done. I think probably, to be fair, it's something that wouldn't have been done well from our side in the past in terms of that political engagement. Last year, we made a concerted effort to do that. We worked with all of the parties. We outlined our manifesto asks ahead of the elections. We had a really positive response to that, but I think that was built on the fact that it's a really strong investment case. It's not the case that we were looking for handouts at any stage. We're looking for what would be the investment in a football industry to build on the economic impact assessment report that I mentioned earlier that we released last year. And there's a really strong case for that, and it's very encouraging for us to see the new government have that in the programme for government, specifically calling out support for academies. So that's something we look forward to working with the government on. The minister was at the launch last week, and it was great to be able to have him in attendance, and we look forward to working with the government on that. But again, the cross-party support we received last year for the message that we put out there and explaining how football can benefit the wider economy, I think was really well received. So it's something we're very encouraged by, and something we look forward to working with the government on over the course of the next few years.
Well, we'll keep them honest anyway. We'll definitely follow up on it. Thanks a million for joining us in studio today. Best of luck with the season, and we're absolutely thrilled to be part of it. First game, Shells Derry. Do you know the second game yet?
Friday night. We're analysing our options at the moment. We'll talk to the people involved, but we'll be here there, and we might even make an old trip to Cork, Colm, at some stage.
It's exciting, isn't it?
Maybe an old trip to Cork. Yeah,
it's like
at the league launch last week, you know, you're like, Greg Cunningham is there, and like, Greg Cunningham's back, and like, he's not just come at 37, 38, like, he's, you know, he's still probably able to play championship football if he wanted. Came back home, like, Seanie Maguire and Rory Keaton leading the line for, like, it's going to be very hard to make, whatever about the top, as to the second part of that league table, it's very hard to predict what's going to happen. So, yeah, we're going to be here there. And everywhere. They say that John Caulfield, Stephen Kenny rivalry.
Are you allowed to predict who's going to win?
Well, I just hope we have the same excitement as we had last year, and that'll be job done for me. So that'll be great to see.
Thanks for joining the studio today. Cheers.